to see your face. Pass me by the crowds of people, the priest who sing your praise.
Hello, my name is Shane Eidelman, and I'm the pastor of Westside Christian Fellowship in Leona Valley, California. It is my personal heart and goal for you to see truth through a biblical perspective. I hope that you enjoy this segment of Eidelman Unplugged.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Eidelman Unplugged. My name is Luke Duncan and I am your host here with Pastor Shane Eidelman. Pastor, welcome.
Welcome. It's good to be here.
The Christian life can be one of abundant suffering sometimes. If you look back at the history of the church, you see times during the Roman persecution periods and stuff where life was probably not very happy or comfortable if you were a Christian.
And so, yeah, no kidding.
And so, and there's still elements of, we may not be being thrown to the lions in the gladiator arena like they were, like our predecessors were back millennia ago. But, as a Christian in the United States of America or in any developed nation, as that culture now stands, if you're somebody that says, you know what, I'm going to wait to be pure until marriage, or I'm not going to see that or things, you can come under the persecution of other people, and I think it can be discouraging, sometimes borderline overwhelming. So Shane, as Christians, how do we deal with the suffering and discouragement that can come with the mark of our salvation?
Well, you said something at the beginning that's important is, developed countries, because, we just read this week where there was many people wiped out in Africa. And Iran, Iraq, it's not a good spot to be a Christian, China right now. So we are so blessed. I think we should take time and thank God for that. And also, what should we do, God? We're here for a purpose. We're not here just to become comfortable and lazy. So discouragement comes in many forms. It's interesting to see somebody who's actually come from the persecuted church and they are more encouraged and joy-filled than many Christians in America. Why is that? We have her name is Sister Sarah, coming to speak here from the persecuted church in China in August. Her story is incredible. I remember her talking about putting like an electrical rod in her mouth, and you could hear the saliva sizzling, and just taking her, stripping her of clothing. And it was just hard to hear her testimony, but finding where does that come from? It seems impossible. And John Piper wrote a good article. It's actually today, The Precious Furnace of Affliction. And discouragement, this could take a little while. The word happy comes from happenstance, meaning what's happening to me. For example, we just had a baby, and we had this delusions of grandeur that she was going to sleep all day, tons of sleep. They say, oh yeah, babies sleep all the time. And now this is our fifth, so we know that's not necessarily true, but boy, oh boy, she's a tough cookie throughout the day. Constant care. And of course, I don't want to minimize suffering and things. That's nothing compared to what many people are going through. But my point was, what we thought was going to happen, what didn't happen, happiness, happenstance, what's happening to you. Joy you can find in the midst of suffering. So if a believer, the best way to handle discouragement is, number one, live in the Word of God. Have prayer be your breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Of course, eat unless you're fasting. But have God be all-sufficient. Look to the Word, look to the Psalm, and Proverbs for wisdom, and praying, and Lord, no matter what happens, I'm joy filled. You've got my children. You've got my marriage. You've got my finances. So you're filled with joy. You're not discouraged because God's ultimately on the throne. He's allowing you to go through it. Now, unless it's attached to sin. Now, if somebody's caught in besetting sin and their marriage is falling apart and they're losing their finances, don't rejoice in that. Repent and get back on track, and then joy will come after the heart is made right. So that's really the key for discouragement. Is a lot of times we get discouraged because why? This is not going like I thought. This is not going like I planned. This is not letting me sit down on the couch for 3 hours a night and relax. It's me, 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 me. And we become discouraged. Now, in saying that, I'm not discounting the deep emotional pain that people go through with genuine discouragement. If bedridden at home, severe pain, from back pain to neck pain to just internal pain that's going on. I'm not discounting that at all. And sometimes, you know, emotional pain is just as hard as physical pain. And if somebody's dealing with anxiety or panic attacks or deep depression, not, it's called chronic depression. You know, there are, I believe, obviously chemical imbalances. If you start to mess with serotonin and dopamine and these hormones that are very important to joy, there's something to that as well. But we also know that being in right relationship with God, feeding on His Word, fun, fellowship, the sun, getting out, exercise, eating correctly, all these things build up those good hormone levels, and they lead to feeling better. That's just ask an alcoholic the next day how he feels, or somebody smoking a pack of cigarettes, or somebody, I just got a text today, somebody said, oh, I ate junk food all weekend, I feel terrible, I'm going to get back on track. You know, there you go. Because so there's so many things you have to look at when it comes from disappointment, discouragement. What are we feeding our body? Are we high on caffeine and nicotine and junk food and opiates or prescription drugs? And that's going to take us down quickly. Or is there a chemical imbalance? Maybe physician, I would recommend getting a good blood work that looks at the vitamin levels in K and A and C, and if you're low in this, and you know, even that can, I mean, look at all these, so many people are deficient in vitamins and minerals, and that's actually, the body needs that. We live off those. So you medical, spiritual, demonic, there's demonic attacks on a believer. So the question though is hope for discouragement is seeking God with all of our heart and allowing Him to just change your heart. Lord, here's what I'm going through. Be with me. And I've noticed that the suffering, the discouragement, the disappointment can actually point us to Christ and lead to a deeper relationship with Him. I mean, I went through hell in 1998 and 1999. My life fell apart. I would not trade that in. I would not go back to that, but I wouldn't trade it in. Because that finally broke me, that brought the prodigal son home. And in the midst of tremendous pain, there was tremendous joy in coming back to God. And so I think there's so many people that could be listening. If it's a solid Christian, they're discouraged. Focus again on God's sovereignty, who He is, just trust Him. If somebody who's not a Christian, they need to repent and believe in the gospel and be transformed, and maybe they're discouraged because of the sin burden. So that's ultimately the answer. Anytime I answer this question, it is to seek God with all your heart, with all your strength, all your soul, even when you don't feel like it. That's why the song you mentioned, yes, I will. Yes, I will praise you in the storm. Yes, I will worship you. Yes, I will seek you even when I don't feel like it. And we do know this, the promises in the Bible are true, and God will see you through. If you commit to Him, tears may endure, but joy cometh in the morning. And sometimes those tears, don't let pain go wasted. Allow it to do its deep penetrating work. And the more I've realized the deep pain or situations, it's God's wanting to do a deeper work in my life. And I just get encouraged. You have to learn to strengthen yourself in the Lord. Don't rely on a pastor. Don't rely on a church. Don't rely on a podcast or a sermon on TV. You need to learn to strengthen yourself in the Lord. And to me, it's just when I read the Psalms, when I begin to pray, it just really helps to transform my heart. When I begin to worship, like tonight, in about 30 minutes here, we're going into a worship night for an hour and a half where a lot of us gather and just worship God. And that really builds us up too as well. So there's a lot of things to do. Worship, the prayer, reading the Word of God. I think fasting is a great thing to do. You starve the flesh for a season. Look at what you're feeding your body. Are you giving it what it needs, the right foods? You'd be amazed at how much better you feel when you consume life-giving, God-given foods that actually bring life to the body versus dead foods created in a factory. And, you know, that's where I think a lot of our, they're calling it now an epidemic in America with depression. There's this depression epidemic. There's an obesity epidemic. There's a type 2 diabetes epidemic, even now in children, adult onset diabetes in children. What's going on? Look at what we're doing to our body in many cases. This is all related. This is not rocket science. It's very simple. What's happening is we're departing from God in many areas of our life.
Yeah, I agree.
That's convicting, but true.
Well, I think in saying that, in when we depart from God in all these areas of our life, we also depart from having a vision of Him in all of these areas too. And I think that for the Christian, I know one thing that is kind of become an unexpected pearl for me in my own faith life and in my theology and things like that is having a biblical view of suffering. And I know suffering is a broader topic than just discouragement, but there is an overlap, and I think for where it does overlap, I'd like to speak to it for a second. But we have this thing called the prosperity gospel today, and we have, over and against that, we really have something that I think touches at the core of Christian growth and maturity and sanctification, and it's the suffering gospel. And I don't let me nuance what I want to say, because lest somebody confuse what I'm going to say, because you know, people hear of suffering and they think of penance and like Roman Catholicism and this kind of thing as if it's meritorious suffering. In other words, you're going to earn something, or you're going to get something by suffering voluntarily or whatever. And that's not what I'm talking about. What the type of suffering that I'm talking about is for the fulfillment of God's purpose,
right,
as He said in His word, of conforming us to the image of Christ. And if we look at Christ's life, I guarantee, well, we have overt expressions where He is not comfortable. You know, you can imagine Him growing up and being set apart as a man,
right,
as a man pursuing perfect holiness. I can guarantee that was not always comfortable. And probably it was probably more uncomfortable than it was comfortable, you know, in His humanity. But even then, we see in the scriptures, you know, in Gethsemane, when our Lord, in His perfect power and His perfect righteousness and in his perfect knowledge and all of those things and His perfect purpose, still is brought to tears over the grief and the suffering that He knows lays before Him on Calvary's tree.
Right.
And so in that moment, He's not comfortable with it, but He says the most profound thing. And if we as Christians latch onto it, we've heard it a million times, but if we latch onto it and we meditate on it, yet not my will, but yours be done,
yep.
You know, and this idea of just complete surrender, you know, and Paul says in many places throughout his epistles, you know, have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, though he's in the form of God, counted equality with God not something to be grasped, but humbled himself and became a man, you know. And it's like, what does that mean? That the very one who made heaven and earth, all 150 billion squared stars or whatever, that he has perfect authority over, got to the point where he needed to get his diaper changed.
Yeah.
I mean, that's humility and that's suffering,
that's,
you know,
amazing.
And you know, and it's like that kind of thing. And in Romans 8, you know, I think one of the most treasured passages for us, you know, when Paul's getting into his lead in about what would separate us from Christ, but he says, just as it is written, and he quotes the Psalms and he says, for your sake, meaning the Lord's sake, we are being put to death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. Hmm. And just this idea of suffering as a demonstration of the quality of the faith that is within the believer, and in acknowledging the shaping aspect of suffering. And I think for the person that is in a place of discouragement, because like I said, maybe you're like me and you're a single man and you're waiting to exercise your sexuality for the proper context.
Right,
and
right.
you're pressed on every side in that area, trying to stay true to purity, and you
right.
feel discouraged because, you know, you're not having that reciprocated by a woman who shares that burden or anything. Brother, you are being conformed in your suffering, and you are understanding Christ in a deeper way through that suffering, you know.
That's true.
And for any other person, you know, they have an addiction that they're conquering, and they still feel the chains of that addiction trying to pull them down and back into those behaviors, but they make the choice to say no in spite of the hurts. Brother, sister, you are being conformed and getting to know your Lord and Savior in a very intimate way, because that's what He did for you, you know.
That's true.
You know, yeah. He made a choice to look beyond himself, to look beyond in Gethsemane, look beyond his own circumstances. And Lord, I stand righteous before you. I have not sinned, but yet not my will, but yours be done. You know, and he looks beyond himself. And so I think for the one that's discouraged, look to the Son. You know, the glory of the Son casts out all darkness.
Yeah.
And when you look to him, all of a sudden you see the purpose that Paul talks about, that God works all things according to his purpose for the good of those who love him, you know. And there is a purpose in that type of suffering that may have discouragement as a result of it. But brother, sister, you're storing up treasure in heaven when you go through that. And so be encouraged.
Well, that's a real good point, Luke, because the fight against addiction or the fight against temptation is not without reward. You know, it leads you to a deeper, it's funny how that works, but it's like blessing follows discipline. Joy follows the right decision. It doesn't precede it often. That's why it's called temptation, you know, and you're being squeezed just like an olive, but that's how you get the olive oil. You're being squeezed just like a flower petal, but that's how you get the perfume, you know? And I think you should also, I would encourage you to maybe get with a brother or sister of the same sex and pray with them and say, hey, I just need encouragement. Do you have time to meet and local church somewhere? And if the right person can really say the right things and encourage you. So you want to come alongside of someone. You don't want to go on this on your own, like I'm just going to grin and bear it. You want to have someone walking in that with you, texting you, praying with you, helping you get through it. And don't give up. There's light at the end of the tunnel. Some of my, deepest, darkest moments, I thought, wow, this is going to last forever. And it doesn't. You just have to finish strong. I just released a video that we did, or a sermon I gave, I don't know, last year sometime on the anointing. It's one thing to be anointed by God, but it's something completely different to survive the anointing, to finish strong. And we finish strong by trying to stay encouraged, because discouragement is what the enemy uses. People go back into sin and bondage when they're discouraged. I mean, if you're not coming out of a Bible study, your church, worship, you're joy-filled, and you're going to go back to that addiction or back to that bondage or back, you know, it's a slow descent of a discouragement. I've talked to so many people say, you know, forget it then. I've had a hard day or a hard week, or I lost my job or my wife or my kid, and they go back to the bondage. So the discouragement can be deadly in the hand of the enemy, but it can be very beneficial in the hand of God. It's all who you turn it over to, who you give it to. So I think that would leave them with some good truths from the Bible.
Amen, amen. If you're somebody who is struggling with some discouragement or some suffering in your own life, we encourage you to look towards heaven and to lean on your brothers and sisters during your season. Ladies and gentlemen, we thank you for listening to this episode of Idleman Unplugged today. My name is Luke Duncan, and I'm your host. If you have enjoyed this episode and this topic, send us another one at westsidechristianfellowship.org or shaneidleman.com, and we'll set aside an episode to talk about it. I'm here with Pastor Shane Idleman, and we thank you for listening to this episode today of Idleman Unplugged. Join us on the next one.
Thank you for listening to Idleman Unplugged. For more information, visit us at shaneidleman.com. Again, that's shaneidleman.com. El Paseo Publications proudly supports the Westside Christian Fellowship Radio Network. We are committed to quality in Christian publication. Free ebooks can be found at westsidechristianfellowship.org under free ebooks. Books such as What Works for Men and What Works for Young Adults will help readers understand that the obstacles ahead are never greater than God's power to take you through. Books such as What Works When Diets Don't and Feasting and Fasting demonstrate how health can be achieved from a biblical perspective. Other free books such as Answers for a Confused Church and Desperate for More of God show the importance of fully surrendering our lives to Christ. And One Nation Above God is a must-read for anyone concerned about the direction of America. Again, free downloads of these ebooks are available at westsidechristianfellowship.org. We are happy about partnering with the Westside Christian Fellowship Radio Network.